Market Talk is produced by the American Ag Network. And welcome into Market Talk for this Monday, November 29th. Great to have you here with us once again as we start off a new week. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That is our home on the web, markettalkag.com. That is where you can find us. Find all of our social media, all of our streaming sources there, and much more. markettalkag.com. Well, we come back in here to start the new week, and we have quite a bit of pressure in the markets here in the ag sector, both grains and livestock to talk about. Let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing to join us to kick off the week. And John, good afternoon to you, sir, and I hope you had a good holiday and a good weekend. Not where I think a lot of folks thought this market would be coming off a sharp sell-off Friday. We come back in here Monday and we continue lower despite seeing stock market rally, et cetera. So your initial thoughts after Monday's close?
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces out there. Obviously, we got the new variant of COVID. How does that weigh on the demand side and what's the market thinking about that? To me also, we just got to look at the calendar here. We got first notice date for December contracts tomorrow. So anybody that's long in a December futures, whether that's corn, soybean meal, wheat, you know, they need to get to the sidelines on that at risk delivery. So that brings some selling pressure into the market. So that may have been some of what was working things today. You know, plus right now, maybe we're just trying to find a range in some of these grains, you know, especially that corn market. You know, we had a bit of a reversal on Wednesday. Then we get a snapback reversal to the upside on Friday with that trade. And, you know, but now maybe we got ourselves a range, you know, March going from $6 to $5.70. You know, so we'll have to see how things kind of play out over the next couple of days. You know, quiet news front now in terms of now until that January report, with the exception of just maybe some changes on that December numbers when that comes out. So we're really going to be watching those export sales numbers on a daily basis, that South American weather on a daily basis. You know, right now we'll have to just see how this money wants to play out here going into the end of the year.
I think a good bit of news today. We can try and get some good news out of the way before we talk the negative. Inspections were good for export again this week, and there was an upward revision for last week's number on corded soybeans. And I would have to think that's, out of anything today, probably some of the most positive news that we got.
Yeah, it's good to see that shipping pace, you know, really continue to be fairly strong. We need it to continue now. Beans, the window is narrowing, and that's one of the things that's got me probably the most concerned about that soybean market. You know, again, the talk of that Brazilian crop coming in early is going to provide some competition and narrow up that shipping window, especially if some of those sales start moving to the south of the border. So that'll be something we'll have to watch. So it's good to see that revision up. Beans were a solid number again at 2.1 million metric tons today. You know, so at least we know we're getting some product out. Still need some more sales on the books, though, so that's a little bit of a concern there. Corn, you know, we're obviously not in that strong shipping window yet. That kind of happens after the bean cycle kind of passes. So it was good to see some corn moving, and sales are at a pretty good pace right now. So I'm pretty comfortable, you know, where we are on the corn side. It's not bullish. It's not bearish. It's just a comfortable spot here, at least in terms of those export numbers. So we'll have to kind of continue to watch that, especially as we get into next year. And again, like I said before, what's going on with South America, you know, especially in beans, a little talk of a drier trend in Argentina. We'll see if that materializes. They did pick up some nice moisture, it sounds like, in some regions over the weekend. You know, so that was maybe some of the pressure that we saw go across that soybean meal market today.
I know you were happy with this, and I was too, with the way corn acted heading to the close. It at least felt like corn was trying to rally, unlike soybeans and unlike Chicago with KC wheat. Corn was trying to do something there, just ran out of time in the day session.
Yeah, we got a nice little bit off the lows. I mean, I know it's only a couple pennies off of where we were at the low of the day, but it's still encouraging to see a little bit of, you know, squaring up on some positions, a little bit of buying stepping into the market and anticipating, you know, where we could be going tomorrow. So that was encouraging to see a little bit of money flow kind of kick in right at the end there. You know, I kind of stepped away for a little bit, came back, and all of a sudden corn went from double digits to single digits lower. You know, I know 11, 12 cents to nine is not a big move, but at the same time, I guess kind of showed you how things maybe wanted to trade and give us a little maybe buying momentum tomorrow, as there might have been some value out there for some people. Because again, the corn demand is still strong. You know, we're still looking at basis levels and a cash market that wants bushels. And so that's something I think is going to keep this market pretty well supported.
obviously looking ahead here, John, we're past Thanksgiving. Now we're going to get into the next couple of weeks where, you know, typically between Thanksgiving and Christmas, not a whole lot of news, not a whole lot of activity. But I know, of course, with this Omicron variant of COVID, we're going to be watching that. And if that weighs on our markets more. But you mentioned trying to set some ranges in some of these grains. Do you think what has the better upside right now? Corn, soybeans, wheat, of the three, what do you think has the best upside? And which one do you think maybe has the worst outlook as we go towards the end of the calendar year?
Well, let's start with the positive. Again, I like the way corn handled Friday with that strong close at the end. And at the same time, too, just even like I said today, kind of feels like we got a bit of a range building in this market, you know, between those, that reversal from Wednesday and the reversal back from Friday. Of the two that looks the most concerning to me and probably the worst on the news front is what's going on with soybeans, especially even that new crop. Today we went back up, filled the gap from Friday's open. Quickly lost steam. If you go look at a November chart today, we took out a bunch of the moving averages and actually put what we call an outside day in. So it looks like we want to open that market up to maybe at least a test of what we call the 200-day around the 12-15 window. So that's something I'm going to be watching. The same thing with even the front month old crop beans. You know, we're down. We did hold support at the end of the day, but we finished right at the bottom of the trading range. That usually opens the market up for a little bit more follow through, especially if we don't get some positive news on the demand front. Lastly, we got wheat. Wheat is under a bit of an influence of a bearish reversal on the 24th. And so we're still kind of watching how that plays. Now, we've dropped 50 cents from that high on Wednesday last week to today's lows. You know, it's a market that was aggressively overbought. Some of the concerns on the longer term are still there, so that, you know, we'll find some price support. But at least maybe right now the technical action looks a little bit choppy at this time frame.
I think looking at wheat as well, spring wheat today did its best to recover. I know Chicago, KC were the weaker of the two, but you know, looking at that spring wheat market, we finished okay there today. So I maybe one other little bright spot there today, John.
Yeah, that spring wheat continues to get a pretty good bid. Obviously, that is just tied to tight supplies, you know, what's out there on the demand front. As producers are starting to think about acres, spring wheat wants to make sure it still stays in the game. So, you know, that's going to keep that market pretty well supported. A lot of that times, too, is what's on the backside of those spreads between those different classes. And that spring wheat can be a bit of a buy against the other classes on the sell side.
Let's talk livestock. Tough day in cattle today. You and I were chatting about this before we went on the air. You know, cattle started strong, looking good this morning, and then poof, somewhere around midday, we lost all of our momentum and triple-digit losses across the board, live cattle, feeder cattle. Talk about what you saw today in cattle and what gives with all of this this pressure all of a sudden.
You know, maybe this is just a bit of a move seasonally. We'll have to kind of watch things in this regard. Typically, the day after Thanksgiving till about the 10th, 12th of December, we see a lot of pressure in the cattle market. You can go back and look at historical charts that go all the way back 30 years ago. You know, again, we see that pullback usually into that window right before, you know, first notice day, December expiration. So maybe that's something that we did to top that off a little bit here with the action today. You know, I was looking at that April contract. Obviously, we got a tighter supply picture going forward. Maybe some of this just some risk off trade due to the new variant of COVID. And does that have some longer term plays? You know, we'll have to kind of watch what the market's thinking there and really watch what the next couple of days. But again, talking about outside reversal day, traded outside the range from Friday, finished at the bottom end of the range. You know, technically, that's going to be a bit of a sell signal, even with cash trade trending a little bit higher again last week. And retails are fairly strong today at midday. So it's just going to be a battle of money flow here. And we'll have to see how it plays out. Now, the correction back took us to the trend line that kind of is underneath this market. So maybe it's just a good test of that area, you know, because right now the news and things of that nature are pretty friendly on the cattle side. And the money flow was definitely there going into last week. And even talking about a market that battled off its lows on Friday, you know, cattle was another one, had a rough start to the day because of the COVID news. And then it seemed to find its way and get some footing into a fairly solid end of the day close.
Yeah, and I think with the cattle market as well, you mentioned Friday and recovering there and that cash trade. I mean, I know the cash trade's at a premium to futures, but just continues to get stronger and stronger, and there's more talk that it could do that once again this week just because, you know, Packers, they're getting cattle, but it's for now. They're not forward contracting any of these cattle, John.
No, and that's one thing that's also, like I said, been encouraging here as well is, you know, the margins are there and they're finally getting some boosts in terms of the retail again, so they can put a little more money into that cash market. You know, the cattle numbers are tight. I mean, we've been talking about that for the longest time overall, and demand continues to stay good. You know, we had that export sales week and a couple of weeks ago where we saw China was the top buyer of U.S. beef that week. That was actually the largest purchases of U.S. beef by China in history on a one-week basis. You know, so there's some optimism of that longer-term demand. And so that's stuff that's still going to stay out there. And if that export market continues to stay aggressive, you know, that's going to help this cattle market overall. You know, we can't deny the supplies are tighter. The cow numbers are down, and that's going to carry us into 2022 and longer. You know, I'm friendly to this cattle market. I know I didn't like the move today in terms of how prices go. Maybe we got ourselves a bit of a short-term correction here, but to me, it's going to wind up being an opportunity for producers if you've got some cattle locked in to maybe open it back up again with some call strategies, or else to make sure we, you know, we got a spot we can build a pretty good floor and leave that top side open. So again, I still like the cattle market going forward, but like I said, seasonality might just say we take a little money off the table here and maybe pull this thing back for a little bit going into the end of the year.
On the flip side, the hog market, we saw Friday's big drop, of course, but cash hogs at a discount to futures right now. Futures today, outside of December, February contracts posting us lower, we saw good strength in the deferred months. What do you make of what hogs did today? Because overall, out of all the ags, they were probably the one market that was at least showed some positive numbers on the board.
Yeah, the front end's all tied to the cash market. I mean, you got the index down nearly another dollar today. That's trading at a discount to December futures, and we're getting close to that expiration window on those December futures, you know, here in the next few weeks. So that's going to be a big weight on top of that market is that cash. Then you see the premium that February is holding to that market, to that cash market as well. Just puts it in the sell zone, are going to be a very limiting factor unless we start seeing that cash market turn around. So that's just going to be a weight over this thing until we get into the first part of the year, I would assume next year. Now, today, maybe that deferred contracts, we got a nice pop back in the mid-90s out there in those summer contracts. And later, you know, we saw retail carcasses really jump today at midday, you know, so that was a little bit encouraging. Maybe we could see some trend there. I think there's just some still optimism of longer term demand that's keeping this market supported, you know, so it's kind of weighing two different things. We're seeing a really heavy bear spread market, sell the front, own the back. You know, sometimes that'll at least unwind itself down the road. But until that cash market comes around, I just don't know if that front end is going to get those buyers that we need. And technically, we really broke apart on Friday, get a little more followed through today. It just feels like we got to go find ourselves a new low, at least in these front month contracts. And as a producer, I'd be looking at those $96 hogs out in the summer. You know, we still got a lot of variables in front of us here now. Boy, you got some good value there. You need to make sure you're starting to think about how do I protect that value.
John, looking at the outside markets, looking back at Friday, with all the COVID worries, huge sell-off, the Dow was down, everything was down, crude oil, everything, you name it. Looking here today, crude oil, stock market rallying, definitely not recovering what we lost on Friday, but at least recovering a little bit. What do you make of the outside markets here as we near the end of the month of November?
You know, it makes me obviously very cautious. Yeah, stock market's up a couple hundred points the time we're talking here, but, you know, we're down over 1,000 points at one time on Friday. Is that, you know, tied to the news, computer selling, light trade? That was all probably part of the equation on Friday. You know, but right now we're in that time of the year. We take a little bit of money off the table. Again, probably till mid-December, then maybe we look at a Christmas rally going into the start of next year. So, you know, watching the technical signals probably more than anything, because sometimes that might be what drives this market. And obviously that stock market definitely rolled over here on Friday. Going to the crude side of the equation, obviously we've been trying to get crude oil prices down, whether it's releasing from the strategic reserves or, you know, trying to get OPEC to pump a little bit more oil. We saw a big break on a market that was heavily bought. You know, now we are down significantly. Now back a buck and a half today. Again, like stock market, not really much of a move after a $10 drop on Friday. So both those charts got pretty cautious. We'll have to see how thing trades out here. Again, if the money wants to start moving things on the shorter side, you know, again, these are different markets. Fundamentals are important, but right now it's been about the technicals. It's about the computer traders and the algorithm traders and their sell signals, what's out there. Obviously, we got to watch every headline very closely. You're already seeing some travel restrictions coming into play because of the new variant of COVID being out there. You know, how does that, you know, change just the overall atmosphere or what we call the sentiment of that market?
Well, I'm sure, along with most everyone else, possibly yourself included, we'd love to see lower gas prices, you know, and cheaper crude oil. But depending on how we get there is going to be a big question, and how that plays into our ag markets, of course. But it's something worth watching. And back below $70 a barrel is a lot better than 80 something, John.
That's true. And, you know, and obviously when it comes to the economy and things of that nature, in terms of money availability, you know, it's important that crude, you know, those crude oil prices, energy prices come down, especially as we move into the winter months here in the heating season, things of that nature coming into it. So, you know, we'll have to see how it all shakes out. There's just so many moving parts right now, and it could change on a daily basis. You know, up until Thursday night into Friday morning, nobody had even a thought of another variant of COVID coming out. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, but nobody's seen it. Nobody heard anything. And boom, here it is, 1,000 points down stock market, $10 down in crude oil. You know, again, the ag markets actually kind of hung in there pretty well, given those issues. You know, but again, just tells you, and we talked about this before, you don't know how fast a black swan event can hit or a headline can move this market. You got to make sure you're looking at what your biggest risks are on a daily basis and somehow protect those risks. Even if it's just owning some cheap puts that go worthless, I'd rather have them in instead of figuring out why we lost a dollar and I didn't have any protection there for you.
Great advice, John. Any other final thoughts you want to add to that, that last point?
You know, again, it's going to be a volatile time over the next few weeks. You know, it's just got to really watch what's going on in those headlines. And don't be shocked when we see things go either way very, very quickly. You know, again, they're still looking at growing supplies in some of these areas. If that South American weather stays, you know, true to form, we could have a bit of a pile of corn and beans and, you know, growing a little bit more into that global demand. You know, so stay disciplined on your sales side. Continue to make some sales. Take advantage of the good prices that are there. If you want to own them, we got call strategies you can put over top. But again, make sure you got that risk managed, because again, these are markets when we want to see them drop, they can lose a dollar, dollar and a half extremely quickly for realistically sometimes no reason other than money flow. And boy, it's, you know, you can be left holding an empty bag pretty quickly if those moves come into play.
John, if producers need a little advice, need some help from you and the team at Total Farm Marketing, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Feel free to give me a call anytime, 800-334-9779, or that email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. Love to get an email sent to me. I'll gladly get back to you and sit down for a few moments, touch base on markets, strategies. Lastly, don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information that's out there for producers.
John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great week, sir, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Have a good week.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk for this Monday, November 29th. Find us online, markettalkag.com. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.